Oh, the shame that will get if you've let all the fans down.
Can we not lock this?
It's a fact. I'm not playing mind games. I'm talking about facts.
I always said if I was Aladici, I would probably say I was more of a tactical genius.
The answer questions on anything. Religious, politics, health, you know, sexual problems.
Look at his face! Just look at his face!
None of you, except for those two, have done anything to justify the money that you earn. None of you! Disgrace!
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
All right, welcome along to Team 33. I'm Raf Giallo. You can get in touch with us on Twitter, that's all in words, at Team 33. We're also on Facebook and also on iTunes, where you'll find interviews with Darius Vassell, Johan Naiskens and many other football luminaries. Another football luminary has come in, especially for today, Richard Chambers.
Luminary scene! Following on from the footsteps of Vassell and Naiskens, we have Richard Chambers.
And Joe Coffey's here as well.
Raf, good to be here. I don't think I can't really see you over the computers, but I am here.
This is the show. I'm automatically saying it. I can't remember the last time I was in here. I was promised that there would be individual microphones for all of us, and now I can't see Joe. I have to share my microphone with Raf, so this is the weirdest hosting situation I'm sure he's ever had to do. And
You're used to it from all your travels around the world in the last few months.
International man of mystery.
Seat of your pants kind of stuff.
And Killian Woods,
thanks for having me, guys.
Right, so today we are going to be reviewing the season, looking ahead to the Champions League final, talking a bit about Totti because Rich is here and obviously it's a big Roma connection. And
huge.
What's he first thing? Say? He's a great man. Right, that's the review over.
First things first, though, we're going to talk about Arsenal and Wenger, which I think is your specialist subject, Joe.
Well, Raf, can I first go on the record categorically saying I'm delighted that Arsene Wenger is staying on?
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. Genuinely?
Yeah.
I'm delighted to stay on. I think it's all nothing. Like, he definitely should be given more.
Although I did find it bizarre, really, that the rumours going around were that he's been sitting on a contract offer since last November. So I find it strange that he didn't just accept it, because he blamed the whole unknown and nobody knew what was going on. He blamed that for the massive collapse at the end of the season. So, you know,
he's still not. I think what told me a lot about the situation was the interview we did with the BBC before the cup final, or I think it was the BBC anyway.
Yeah, it was.
We were talking about the treatment by the fans, and I mean, we all know Arsenal fans and how sort of vocal they are about how much they've been displeased with what's happening at the club for the last number of years.
And Arsenal Fan TV in particular.
Yeah, exactly. I think you could almost, you know, draw a direct line between what he was saying and, you know, Arsenal Fan TV, which has become, you know, this runaway train of just... Sure. They were even on the BBC coverage, Arsenal Fan TV, in the build-up, which is just insane. They need to put this, you know, the genie's out of the bottle in a way.
Oh, it's incredibly successful. Yeah. I mean, you might as well...
It's rubbish, Well, it's driving this culture where we're just like a man like Arsene Wenger, who's built that club, you know, built the success of that club. Maybe, I mean, you can argue and you can be respectful in it as well, though. You can critique him and say that, you know, maybe he should have stepped off the pitch a long time ago. You know, maybe it was time to pass on to somebody else to try and, you know, take the club further, because maybe he's taken it as far as they can go. But it's just been disgusting, some of the remarks they've made about him, and just the lack of respect and just this nonsense shrieking at the top of their voice every time Arsenal drop 2 points against some middling club.
The point has been made, and I would have to agree with it, that, like, is it Andy Tate? Is Andy Tate the
full-time Devils?
You don't deserve the fans and all that kind of stuff. That was Andy Tate. Yeah, that's Andy Tate, isn't it?
Yeah.
He had an interview with Jose Mourinho, last August, and Jose kind of it was
got him in the palm of his hand. Yeah. It just completely broke all the tension.
We discussed this before, and we were saying that maybe. Obviously, it was difficult for Wenger to foresee how big Arsenal Fan TV was going to become. But maybe if he had done an interview,
don't give him the credit. Don't acknowledge him. He doesn't recognize it as a legitimate organization.
You sound now like one of these print journalists going on about these social media websites.
Putting his thumb into the thing and trying to hold back the tide of this new age of internet citizen journalism.
I will say for them. They should be happy. Arsenal Fan TV should be happy that he's staying on, because...
Ratings.
I don't know. I don't think he'll win the league. I think they're too far behind everybody else. There's too many positions that have to be fixed. Tony Adams' book is out in a couple of days. He's had a right cut at Wenger in it.
Why do we care what Tony Adams has to say about management anymore when everywhere he's gone, he's been an unmitigated disaster?
I know. Well, it's interesting because, well, his first book was a brilliant read. And his second, I suppose you're not even thinking of it that he's a manager, you're just thinking of it that it's Tony Adams, an Arsenal player. The one thing that stands out for me, and it is a fair point that he makes, he's obviously very angry that Wenger didn't give him a job coaching in the team in some role.
He's
some
right, so based on the evidence of his own performance as a manager. But
it is an interesting point he makes about that, in that, you know, Patrick Vieira, I don't know if Arsenal ever made him an offer, but he's not there. Mm. I mean, Thierry Henry was told it's Sky Sports or Arsenal, and there's no go between, so he's not there either.
Steve Bould
is there. I mean, I think reading between the lines, and it's only the serialisation that we've been reading so far, but reading between the lines, Adams would be suggesting that Wenger has surrounded himself with a bunch of yes men.
He's still pretty successful. This is my problem. And going back to the Arsenal fan TV thing, I think it was disappointing that Gary Neville called him out and said, you pretty much have no right to an opinion. They have a right to an opinion, but I still believe they're wrong. I think that it is disgraceful what people are saying.
Well, I don't believe
he's
that.
He's so successful. How could you want to force a man like that out of your club? I come back to it every week talking about football being in where it's lost all its romance. Yeah. And this is a perfect.
Well, I think it's the fact that
do you know what it was? It's the meme culture around Wenger out, which is the worst thing.
It's worse than Mayo for Sam.
We watch Jeremy Corbyn doing some sort of event, some canvas, some press launch, and you see kids in the background with signs saying Wenger out.
Yeah.
You flick on Twitter and it's guys at the boxing, it's guys at the wrestling holding up Wenger out signs.
Should we have our own Wenger in whenever Arsenal score? Yeah. Wenger in.
WhatsApp conversations change based on goals for and against Arsenal.
I think he's in a tricky position now, because if they have any kind of the problem for the fans, really, I think the problem, and this is where the Arsenal TV, I mean, a lot of it's exaggerated, obviously. Nobody can be that outraged by a football performance. If you do, you kind of have to revalue your life, I think. But I think the problem is that up until 10 matches ago, they were playing the same game Wenger has played for years. They were getting knocked out at the same stage of the Champions League for 7 or 8 years. They were finishing third or fourth, not really challenging the league for 7 or 8 years. I think in many ways, it was that he would have been better off, with the benefit of hindsight, if he'd had one really bad season where they finished 7th or 8th. And then, like, they gradually started improving again. I think the problem is in football is that you're either doing really bad or you're doing really well. Mm. If you're at the same level for too long, people get bored. And I think a lot of
if consistency isn't winning, the Premier League trophy every single year, it's not good enough.
Exactly. Like, I think in many ways, if Arsenal were finishing second every year, the fans would still be annoyed.
Yeah. To be like, why haven't you made the step up?
Yeah. And the same and it's the same failings. I suppose a lot of the frustration is the same failings every year. Like putting faith in players that he should have forgotten about a long time ago. I mean, I was shocked that they actually won the FA Cup.
It's very rare you'd hear someone say Arsenal are in transition. Liverpool are in transition, Man United have an interest, Man City, Chelsea in transition, but never, I just off the top of my head, you never really hear Arsenal in transition.
No.
They're always, oh, you should be there, you should be winning it this year. That's because they're so consistent.
I don't understand how they seem to struggle to pay a huge money that they should, when considering that they are the most expensive team in Britain to watch. Probably they must be, and definitely in the top five most expensive teams in the world to watch on that basis.
It's because of the rich tapestry of football that they weave on a weekly basis.
You know, considering they're so expensive to watch, I just find it amazing that they won't pay the money to get the players in that they need.
I think that's almost become a bit of a myth.
Well, then
Arsenal don't buy players, that they don't spend loads of money. They spent however much on Granit Xhaka last summer. They spent however much.
Mustafi didn't come cheap either.
Yeah. That's
true.
Even if you look back at, you know,
but then is the
Sanchez
argument,
and Ozil.
But Sanchez, but is the argument really that Wenger has bought poorly in the last few years?
That's probably more to the point. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just not getting enough out of his players. I don't think they have the best squad in the Premier League. I don't think they have even one of the top four squads in the Premier League. So maybe it is just a case that he hasn't, you know, brought in the right people. He's brought in some great players or some really good players. At least Rob Holding seems to be developing at a really, really good pace. But I just don't think I think that's a more valid criticism than he just doesn't spend. It's just that he hasn't brought in the right people to bring the club to the next level, to challenge squads like Chelsea, Man City,
And I think that ability has deserted him in the last, certainly in the last decade. I mean, I was of the opinion that, as I said many times before, that under David Dean, when he was there with Wenger, that they signed a better calibre player. I mean, they had a team at one stage that nearly won the league that was based solely on young players they had brought into the club. If they did that now, they'd be slaughtered.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Spurs have eclipsed them now.
Yeah.
I think that probably, is a psychological thing for fans.
Yeah, and they have, even other than league placing, which obviously matters for a lot,
but they played
Spurs
much,
pretty much have eclipsed them last season they
eclipsed them in every way, though. They play better football. They have more, the players they have, they have a guy leading the line that's from London. He's from North London, yeah. I think. Is he? Harry Kane's from North London.
He's as close to a local fella as he
He's as close to a local lad.
Dele Alli is probably the best talent in English football.
You know, and all of this has come from, okay, I know that they got 100 million out of selling Gareth Bale, but do you know the players like Eriksen and Lamella and all that, they've really come to fruition.
Just,
I mean, Danny Rose, goalkeeper's good. They just have eclipsed Arsenal in every way.
Well, I mean, for all the criticism which we're sort of aiming at Arsenal, their performance in the FA Cup final was excellent. It was by far their best performance of the season.
Maybe since the Bet Chelsea 3, maybe when the Bet Chelsea 3-0 back in September, that was a good performance. This formation change has been interesting. I mean, they've won pretty much every game.
They were far outclassed Man United as well.
Yeah. It's interesting, and it seems to have been the reasoning behind the formation change was literally, he might as well change the formation because nothing else is working.
Gotta do something.
Yeah. And he might have stumbled upon something now. Because even Chamberlain seems to be a much better player, and I've been criticising them all. You know, as I said, I do hate most of the Arsenal team, if not them all.
On a personal basis, I could name five things I dislike about each of them. Do you know who's really impressed me, though, over the last few weeks is Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck was immense in the cup final.
Yeah. His direct running is just the link-up play that he brings, and just the level of intensity which you've sort of been lacking from a lot of Arsenal players for a number of years now. Like, whenever he gets on the ball now, or whenever he's running in support for players like Sanchez or Oxlade-Chamberlain, it just brings a completely different element to what we have come to expect from Arsenal attacks. Even when you have people like, when Mesut Ozil is having an off game and he just plods up the pitch and sprays some sideways passes. Like, it's just something completely different, and it just brings that extra element to Arsenal, which I think they've been lacking for quite some time.
Sure, I'd be interested to see if, looking at it, and it's this, I think most Arsenal fans will say the same thing every year. What would their season have been like if Santi Cazorla wasn't injured for, 4 months of it, or 6 months of it, or all season? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the same kind of with Danny Welbeck. I mean, he missed pretty much all of last season. Yeah. He missed pretty much all of this season. From what I've seen of him in the short times he's played with Arsenal, he's always been impressive. I mean, last season he came back from injury, and the first thing he did was score the winner against Leicester when they were, they look like they're probably going to win the league, or at least challenge for the league anyway. Yeah. This season, he's scored a couple of goals, but he was brilliant in the cup final. I mean, Mertesacker was unbelievable in the cup final.
Unbelievable game. For a man who has no pace.
No, probably should have been man of the match.
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
Does he last the 2 years, though?
Huh?
Do you think he's stubborn enough to last the 2 years?
Wenger? Oh, he'll hang in there now.
I think he will now.
Will he get a send-off? Like, is the whole tie going to change? It's like this kind of thing in Ireland where no matter how much of an asshole you were when you're alive, when you're dead, everyone sings your praises. Yeah. You know?
I think that will change. Yeah,
all
I think that will happen. Whenever Wenger either he leaves on his own volition, or whether he's forced out because they underperform, I think when it comes to saying goodbye to Arsene Wenger, the right thing will happen. And people will respect.
And in fairness, the Arsenal fan TV people, even as vitriolic as some of the criticism is, sometimes they always do have the caveat that, like, he was a great manager.
Well, he is a great manager, though. I mean, like, at the end of the day, people need to get real at the same time. They won the FA Cup. They've won three FA Cups in, 4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
What do you want as a club? Like, I mean, would you rather he just finish second? Because there's better teams there. Yeah. And he's still delivering. I mean, he didn't deliver Champions League football for them. That could be a blessing next year, maybe.
Yeah, well,
but, like, he delivered the trophy. He delivered three trophies.
And anyway, let's be honest. There's no English club out there that has a good enough squad to compete in the Champions League.
Not yet, no.
Well, maybe Chelsea will, but, like, Chelsea's problem is they've too small a squad at the moment. Yeah. But
Chelsea will be shown to have a weak squad next year.
Unless they spend loads of money.
Even if they would have to buy a lot of players. They're going to go from having 2 days off a week
That'll be a big problem for them. Much. I mean, I could envisage Arsenal kind of playing the second string for the opening rounds of the Europa League and seeing how the season goes and doing, and if,
win
you know...
That. They could easily win.
Well, I think this is, I was actually myself and Rafa having this conversation earlier on because obviously, I mean, Man United won the Europa League last week as well. But the Europa League has changed completely as a competition from the British club's point of view. And I suppose if you were to do a sort of a ranking of the importance of trophies or the luster of trophies, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, it would have obviously have been Champions League, then the Premier League, then the FA Cup, then maybe the Europa League.
Yeah.
It just was is such an inconvenience. Now you have three clear by a distance, and they are the Champions League, the Premier League, the Europa League, and then by a distance it's the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's true.
Because of the Champions League football element of it, and just because I think the standard of football in it has improved as well, just because more teams have taken it seriously. Obviously, Sevilla have been the dominant force in it for the past few years as well. It's just generally a really good competition to watch when it gets to the latter stages.
Yeah, and the fact that it's automatically entry to the group stages, I mean, that's the whole... Like, who could have envisaged at the beginning of the season that United's whole season came down to the Europa League final? Mm-hmm. It was the difference between... And it would have been disaster. But not even disaster because they didn't qualify. Mourinho put so much pressure on himself and the team to win that by constantly going back to it that if they had lost, it would have been an unmitigated disaster.
Mm. His cup final record is pretty good, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I
is it 12 out of 14 or 13?
I was under absolutely no doubt that they were going to win that game.
Yeah, like, Ajax have a nice, tidy squad. And those players will fit very well into Tottenham in the future. But
what a future awaits.
Yeah, but they're not like going to beat an English squad.
But to go back to Arsenal, because I suppose we'll talk about United later on, but to go back to Arsenal, I think Wenger will need to... He's made a couple of signings. He'll need to make a couple of more big ones. I mean, there's major surgery needed in the team. Success.
But he should budget for these injuries that they're clearly plagued by.
Yeah, and
he should just budget for. Like,
He should do a Ferguson on it. I mean, he's signed another 2 years. He has to be thinking at this stage, this might be my last 2 years now. Let's go all out and let's just forget about. Let's just spend.
Well, maybe he wants a year because, like, this you can't offer a manager a year's contract anywhere. Like Bobby Robson was offered a year's contract. Newcastle was out in a few weeks.
Yeah,
like Bobby Robson.
I know
players can't get motivated to play for Bobby Robson.
They need the 2 years. Like when Ferguson had decided internally that it was his last year, he went all out to sign Robin van Persie, and he spent whatever 20 million on van Persie, knowing that van Persie probably only had one, maybe two good seasons in him. And
he wouldn't have made that signing back in the after Champions League final.
Probably not. Like, but he went all out because he knew if he got him, he probably would have a great chance. He'd probably win the league. And Wenger probably needs to do something like that. Identify where they really need somebody, whether it's an amazing striker, because you might as well take account that. I hope it doesn't happen, but Danny Welbeck will be injured. Similarly, Olivier Giroud is just too hot and cold. Sanchez is good, but he's not your main striker. I mean, if the papers are to be believed, they've made Sanchez an insane offer that's completely eclipsed anything Bayern Munich were offering him.
I don't think the money is. He just wants to have another good player.
He wants to win something
at the club. I think that's the best thing they could do. Don't even bother offering Sanchez that much mad money. Just show them that you're going to sign two great players and I'll probably keep them there.
That's true. I'll be interested. One thing about Wenger is there's a lot of stuff probably going on there in the background in the boardroom that we don't know about in terms of...
I imagine there is, yeah.
You know,
it's strange if it's the four of us here in the studio
going on.
Knew everything that was happening. There's nothing they can hide from us.
But what I mean is I wouldn't think that there's as much unity... I would say that, well, I suppose the point I'm making is that I wouldn't think they're all unified behind Wenger.
No.
Half of them, I'd say, would have been glad for him to go. The other half wanted him to stay. And that's ultimately what happened. Well, the FA Cup, it would be hard to get rid of him after winning the FA Cup. I'm glad. Well, then again, Louis van Gaal would differ. But I'm glad he's staying. And hopefully we'll see a remarkable improvement in the team next season.
Even if they're finishing 7th in the league, he deserves a proper send-off. Like, even if they're not like tipping onto the top four, he should just be given given so much to that club over the years. And as you said, like, the thing was, like, the myth was they couldn't win trophies. And how better to bounce. I admit he didn't win the Premier League, but winning three FA Cups is quite a good bounce back.
It's just, I suppose, the frustration for people is that they're in this fancy stadium and paying loads of money for it, and the football is average.
Football's pretty good.
Football's all right, mate.
Football's pretty good.
I don't know. If it was so good, he wouldn't have to change his tactics at 10 games to go.
Oh. Anyway, we'll be back after the break. We're going to be talking about Totti and the Champions League final. All right, welcome back to Team 33. So before the break, we were talking about Arsenal and Wenger. Now it's time to talk about an actual send-off, Totti.
Yeah.
It was an emotional day, I imagine, for you, Chambers.
It really was.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, he's gone. What'll I do? It was one of the most remarkable scenes you'll ever probably see. In a football stadium.
I saw fans crying.
Players.
The camera kept on panning to individuals in the stands, and everybody was weeping. Players were weeping, even players he'd only been with the squad for maybe a year or two. He himself was full of emotion. Mm. I mean, he spent all of his adult life playing for the city he grew up in. It's a unique story in football. I mean, you have people like John Terry. Stephen Gerrard went off and played in the MLS, so he tarnished that a little bit. It's different to all of those in that Roman never won trophies consistently. Right. It's a lot easier. There's nothing to stop him. Like, if you're Paolo Maldini, you're winning Champions Leagues and the odd Scudetto, why would you move? If you're John Terry, you're winning Premier Leagues, you're winning Champions Leagues, where are you going to go to? If you're Francesco Totti, you win one league title and you have huge money deals on the table from Real Madrid.
He said one Scudetto was worth 10 La Ligas.
And he's right. Yeah. I mean, it just is. It just is. It would mean a lot more to anybody. He's lived out the career any fan of a club could possibly dream of.
Do you think that if this was 1980s and he was retiring, would it make headlines?
Yes,
there?
It would. Still. It's amazing, and it is actually amazing how much it sort of has caught on around the world, despite the fact, he's been irrelevant as a world-class player for a number of years now, because, Roma haven't been challenging for the Champions League. He hasn't been in an Italian national team because he's 40 years old. It's amazing how much respect and how much sort of love and appreciation the world sort of has for him. But I think it would. I mean, you spent 25 years playing top flight football in one of the toughest leagues in the world and consistently scoring goals. It's incredible. It's an incredible thing, and I think it's an achievement which would warrant the level of respect and admiration which it has earned. It would warrant that in any era. I thought the way it was all handled is just a huge contrast to what we saw a week ago with John Terry send off with Chelsea, where he named his 26 minutes and all that sort of stuff. He came on in a must-win game. It was actually brave from Luciano Spalletti, who's now departed as manager of Roma. He brought him on with 56 minutes on the clock in a game Roma had to win to get into the Champions League. And it was 1-1. It was a rubbish performance by Roma. It was really, really dreadful. And the whole season was riding on this, because Roma don't win when it gets to preliminary rounds of the Champions League. Nobody wants to play those. Brought him on. He was, to be honest, a bit rubbish. He didn't really have much to do apart from holding the ball up in the corner. He could have scored the go-ahead goal. Daniele De Rossi took it off his toe. But just the pageantry of the send-off was just, it was one of the most emotional scenes you'll ever see in modern football. It was just brilliant. I mean, for people who didn't see, there was a huge number 10 jersey was laid out. He did a whole lap of honour. He gave an incredible speech, and I think this is actually the most affecting thing about the whole thing was the speech that he gave, because you contrast this then with John Terry, and John Terry picking the moment he wants to be walked off the pitch by a guard of honour in the middle of a football game. Francesco Totti spoke about how he's afraid now. He's afraid because this is all he's ever known, is playing for, is being this figurehead, because he is a figurehead for the city. He's an icon in a city which is full of them.
But the team, a question I was going to ask you, the team is without an icon now.
Well, I don't think that's actually true. You have Daniele De Rossi, who's next.
I wonder, would it be easier for them now, though, that he's kind of not there? Because I remember when, it doesn't compare Thierry Henry at Arsenal, but I remember Fabregas kind of saying before, there was a period just towards the end of Henri's time when the young lads were around him, that they always felt they needed to pass to him and stuff. Totti has been phased out before then, but still.
I think that's the difference, but I think it'll... it won't make any difference. I mean, the main thing which you're going to see different about Roma next year is we don't have Luciano Spalletti as manager, and he's been fantastic. But just in terms of the send-off for Totti, look, I mean, incredible. Just influence. He's made that team a perennial league challenger when it otherwise would have really no right to be. Mm. I mean, for so many of those 24 seasons he played for Roma, he was pretty much the one thing which dragged him into it. There wouldn't have been, I mean, there was a great team when they won the Scudetto with Battistuta and all these amazing players in Montella. But, like, I mean, he was the number one issue on that. And, I mean, he almost won leagues on his own. He didn't have a supporting cast around him. And he won the European Golden Boot at the age of, what, 30?
Yeah.
34, 35, despite being, you know, a fairly withdrawn striker at the time as well.
I mean, he's just like 06, 07.
Yeah.
Where he was like the false nine, like before Messi and all this stuff.
Yeah, and just some amazing goals and just some amazing moments. He's just one of the most, he is just, you know, just out on his own in terms of what he brought to football. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't remember ever a time watching football and it wasn't Francesco Totti who was interested in saying.
Like, I mean, you had Pirlo there last year and he's gone to, I know he went to America, but you'll have Buffon soon.
Yeah.
And I
think there's something about Totti. Well, not to romanticise it too much, because obviously he'll leave that to Rich. But he just, like, Roma as a city just needs a gladiator, and he just symbolises so much. Like
he was just such a different player to everybody else, and that's why I think he stood out. And this is why you have players from all around the world, every single club apparently tweeting messages at him. It's just the grace on the ball, the fact that he never really had pace. But it never really affected him, even in the modern game. Just even things like just chipping goalkeepers from 30, 40 yards, just ridiculous overhead assists and back heels galore. Like, it was literally, the man pulled at least 3 back heels in every match. He leaned on it a little bit much, but it was just ridiculous. And just his hold-up play was just immense.
Has he said anything about what he's planning to do afterwards?
This is the thing. I mean, he's already has an offer, and the new sporting director at Roma says, you know, he broke the news, actually, was pretty poorly handled in how they announced that this was going to be his last game. He has a directorship which he can walk into. He already has an office at the training ground, which is ridiculous for a player to have an office of his own, but it just sums up what he's worth to the club. But I'm not sure. I think it'll probably be difficult for him to just take himself out of it. I mean, eventually he's going to be the club president, is sort of something he's already spoke about as an ambition of his, but apparently there is an offer on the table as well from Miami in the National American Soccer League, which isn't even the MLS. Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't play 90 minutes anywhere at this point.
No.
But, you know, maybe it is. It's just, as he said, I mean, this is the thing about his speech was just like, he is petrified of what comes next. He basically gave this amazing speech from the centre circle in front of a full Stadio Olimpico, which barely ever happens anymore. And he was just talking about, like, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to do. It's a different type of fear from sitting up or from standing up and taking a penalty. Like, I can't, he's in the actual quote, is just so poetic as well. It's just like, I can't see my future like I can see through the net of the goal when I'm standing to take a penalty. So I don't know. You'd be worried for him, and you're, you know, it's hard to feel sympathy for modern football, especially one who's as well paid as Francesco Totti. But when you're just going into something, you've never known anything different, not even known to move home and to move to a different club, to now go into this, facing into, you know, the second half of his life and beyond, where he's facing a completely different thing. I mean, the man can't walk around the city of Rome. He's never been able, he always says that this is something he loves to do, is just walk into the city of Rome and just walk around the city centre. He can't do that. He's just had such a strange life. So it's going to be a very, very difficult transition. And I just wish him the best with it. I think he's just been an immense figure. Number one sporting icon of my childhood. And just been an absolute, it's just been a joy to watch everything that he's brought to football, and just my enjoyment. He pretty much was my enjoyment of football for a number of years, at least, as well. When you're just like, I mean, you've nothing else to cheer for when you're watching Roma. You've the odd upset you produce against the Juve and all that sort of stuff, and you challenge for the title. But it's just all been just pretty much down to his just ridiculous, just insane, just feats of accomplishment over the years. So I don't know. It'll be interesting now to see what happens with Roma next. I mean,
he leaves Roma. Roma are in a good position going into it, the Champions League. Like, they're in a deal, you know.
But the problem, this is what happened, and this is the atmosphere that is Roma as well, is that the manager is now gone.
And he's the one that understands that club more than anybody else that's been in there.
Luciano Spalletti has departed, having given Roma its best ever points total in Serie A, most goals they've ever scored, some of the best performances they've ever produced, they've produced this season, because of the atmosphere around. And it's the media focus on Francesco Totti. They beat Milan 4-0 in San Siro. And the first question Luciano Spalletti was asked, heck, we didn't give Totti run out. And this is it. And he just says, this is too much. Doesn't like the atmosphere around it. And he's off. So it's interesting. I think we're going to, it's probably going to be a period of decline maybe now. It depends on how much the new sporting director brings in terms of new players. But who knows? The future is unclear. We have much to fear.
We certainly do. We'll be back after the break with some Champions League and also a bit of a season review as well.
All right, welcome back to Team 33. So before we were chatting about Totti, and we were chatting before that about Arsene Wenger and the fact that he's staying on in Arsenal. Now there is a Champions League final to look forward to, but also a Premier League season to look back on. We've kind of talked about how dull the season it has been.
Do you know what, actually? And I was thinking about this earlier on, because I've regularly said that this has been a really, really bad Premier League season. And I've often said it's the worst Premier League season that I can remember. I think we're always a bit harsh on seasons while we're currently in them. I mean, the Premier League title race was all but done months and months ago. But I think as a whole, it wasn't terrible.
We were 2014-15, I think, because we were all doing the show at the time.
We've had a discussion that since we went on the air, took to the air back in 2014, that three out of the four seasons have been really bad.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
this season was poor just because Chelsea were so much better than everybody else. Well, Spurs were okay, but it's just that Spurs raised their gallop too late in the day.
Any other season, they'd have been.
The other issue was that
we were promised a lot this season, though. Like, you know, some of the best managers in the world are in there. Maybe that we'll reap that next year when they have money to spend the whole summer to spend it.
But. Well, last year, before the season started, when we were doing our previews, the big talking point was this is the season. We weren't talking about who was signing who. We were talking about the managers. You know, it was all about the managers, and that was the big talking point.
There'll be no excuses for a lot of managers next season.
Yeah,
there'll be no excuses for Pep Guardiola to produce another season like that,
and still only one of them can win it.
Yeah,
you know, so there'll be four of them. Four of them will be under pressure.
I don't think Pep will be under pressure unless they fail to get into the top four.
I think if they came third again,
I don't think he'll risk losing his job. It doesn't mean there won't be pressure. I think there'll be a lot of people calling for it, but he's very like he's the man they've wanted. They're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah, because where do you go after Pep Guardiola? Where do you go?
Back to New York.
Ancelotti.
Just live in
New
York.
It's different for him, but where does Man City go? You know?
Yeah.
We've had a few seasons now where English teams have been really poor in Europe. I mean, Juventus have been the lighting the way this season in the Champions League.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Does it suggest that the Italian league is making
Italian team?
They're just a very, very good team. That hasn't changed much.
They're just like the Inter Milan of.
They've just had a remarkable turnaround. It's just been insane what they've achieved.
Great
over
manager.
The last 7 or 8 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's without. I mean, just from, you know, from Calciopoli and from being relegated and just being dropped straight back into Serie A. The team they've assembled, the teams actually, because they've had a couple of them now, which they've, and they've even, they lost Paul Pogba. They've probably been better this season almost than they've ever been before.
And he has struggled to make headway in United.
I think some of the criticism of him has been a little harsh at times. I don't think he's had the impact anybody would have imagined he would have had.
No.
But I think he had some standout performances, and I think he'll grow into the role. I mean, he was a little bit different. I think, I mean, to be honest, he was played a little bit deep.
He was.
I think he's been misunderstood as what type of player he is. I think people think he's going to run the game because
he's this
Patrick
Vieira.
Yeah,
or Roy
but
Keane,
he's not. He's nothing like that.
He ticks it along very well. I watched him against Leicester. They won earlier in the season. He was very, very good. Didn't put a pass wrong. Kept it ticking over. He was always in the right position. Always giving himself up for offer for to bounce off, but not going to score the winning goal. But
it's night and day the difference. Man United when they don't have Paul Pogba playing. They are a rubbish team when they don't have him playing. They need to fix that in the summer anyway.
I mean, one of the big talking points at the start of the season, the first few games about United was that all the fans were going around saying, oh yeah, we're not getting the results, but God, football is so much better. You can see where the improvement is coming from. And then in the end, we meandered through the season and it didn't really get any better.
I think Jose Mourinho probably has a better read of his squad now. I think he probably had a lot of faith in players who just didn't have it in them to perform. And I think you saw his frustration which level of performance from some players, Luke Shaw in particular, who just got rode by Jose Mourinho all season.
Yeah, that's the best word I've ever to describe what happened to Luke Shaw. People are bullying, he got rode.
He got rode by Jose Mourinho all year. I mean, it was just like, it's like picking out the weakest member of your pack and just singling him out repeatedly.
It's like the lions in the Serengeti picking out the
I've never seen anything like that in the Premier League before, where a manager has just been so focused on the failings of one player.
I think this is the difference, the real difference in Mourinho compared to Mourinho version 1 in the first decade and Mourinho version 2 in this decade. I think that's the big difference, in that I don't recall him really turning on his team in the Chelsea team in his first stint as manager. Obviously he turned on them last year because they turned on him. But I think that's one of the big differences now, that he's far more critical of certain players when he feels like I think he's lost his aura. I don't think he has that aura anymore. He's a great manager, but I just think he might not be as good as he was.
I think the Real Madrid thing burnt him out in a way.
Yeah,
because it was just that intense. But it's his fault, because he was the one kind of picking away at Barcelona and Pep Guardiola. So
I'm not sure I buy any of it. I think it's just in terms of the quality of the squad. I mean, what was he going to... Like, there's so much deadwood in that Man United team, which three managers, there's so much responsibility has to lie on those shoulders of both himself for not getting rid of half the players he didn't get rid of in his first summer in charge. Louis van Gaal for selling some really good players.
Like Danny Welbeck.
Yeah, exactly. But it's true. I mean, and David Moyes as well, for keeping a load of crap players and bringing in a few crap ones as well. Like the lingering nature of Chris Smalling and Phil Jones.
Yeah.
And poor. What Antonio Valencia has produced on as a right back has been pretty decent, but I mean, he's not the answer there.
The money they have spent since Ferguson left is pretty eye-watering.
I mean, they haven't spent, like, who's most disappointed? Somebody has spent more. City, I think.
City and Chelsea. I think in the last three seasons, it's something like City, Chelsea, United, and then Arsenal. Something like that.
Yeah, I think what is just remarkable is the amount of work that team still needs, despite the outlay. I mean, it's just, to be honest, it's probably more to do with the premiums that are placed on the players that they need to buy.
Yeah.
Because if Man United are going to buy a player, they're going to pay over the rate. And that's just the nature of it is. If you're the richest club in world football, people are going to expect the richest club in world football to pay over the odds for their players.
Yeah, it's actually, that's it. And because at the moment, the players you have are at a certain standard, if you're looking to buy somebody that's better than that, a lot of the time you have to pay over the odds for that type of player. I mean, Wenger would often go on about this, that he's trying to sign a striker, but he's like, but there's no strikers available that are better than what I have. Therefore, I won't sign a striker. Mm. You know?
That's not always true.
He's pushed that one before, because, you know, I think there was one year Higuain was the player that was available, so he was chasing him.
And look what he's provided.
I know. And then he couldn't get him. And then
Despite being massively overweight.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal player.
Ridiculous. I've no idea. It's a feat of human nature. It's anatomically impossible what he does. I've no idea how a man who looks like he's had, like, you know, one too many pints of curry, you know, is a beast. He's a beast.
He's your old school striker.
He is. But like, just even in terms of the options, they have Dybala as well. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous team. But
I hope they win the Champions League.
Mm, I don't.
Why not?
Juve.
But would you not prefer to Real Madrid?
No.
Like, we don't want Real Madrid to be this team that retains it.
It's like, amazing, it's though. Like,
not this Real Madrid.
Zidane liked that Real Madrid team.
Zidane is getting feck all credit for what he's doing with that team. It's almost like they could have any... Raf, they could have you managing them, and the consensus is that they win.
You could have picked out anyone else.
Well, Raf, you're the presenter, so obviously I'm going to pick you.
You've got to take the brunt of that one.
But, like, you know, anyone could be managing that team, supposedly, and they'd be winning the Champions League. It's not as easy as Mourinho.
As Luis Enrique has found it as well, you know. Yeah.
Like, it is phenomenal. It would be better for football in general if Juventus won it. I can't believe Juventus haven't won the Champions League since 97. I know they've had
96.
So much... It was 97.
No, they lost to Dortmund in 97 and then lost to Madrid in 98. Like, so they lost three finals, or they won
96.
It's one of the interesting things about Italian football is that, you know, Juventus have won far and away more league titles than anybody else, but they lag so far behind Inter and Milan in terms of European titles. They just have some sort of, like, their fans always talk about it being cursed for them.
They never had that period of dominance that, say, Inter had in the, was it the 60s or early 70s?
Yeah, 60s,
You know, and obviously, well, Milan are just the most machine.
Ridiculous of Champions League teams. They just have so many just great.
And it's just unfortunate for Juventus as well. The first one that they won was the same year. It was the Heysel kind of match as well, which I think left as a kind of difficult issue for them as well.
We are talking about, if Juventus win it, only the third Champions League, European Champions League winner this century.
Mm.
That's probably right. It's in 2003, wasn't it? 2003, it was the All-Italian final. 2010, Inter Milan won it. And then it would be Juventus if they win it this time. I think that's it. I don't think there's been any other Italian winners.
No. Well, Milan won in 07.
Did they?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
they beat Liverpool in the final.
Yeah, that was such a boring final. Because it was like 2-0 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And coming 2 years after the reverse Istanbul.
I think, the one thing, I mean, I say I don't want Juve to win it. Just their back. Their defense is just ridiculous.
I think they're a better team. I think they're a better team than Real Madrid. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It's
actually one of the most even Champions League finals I can remember. It's really difficult to call. I mean, I can foresee a Champions League final in which that Juve team just locks out Madrid.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a final with lots of goals or anything. I think if they manage to somehow keep Ronaldo quiet, I think they win.
I still think Real will win it. Sergio Ramos will score, as he always does.
It's the typical Italian thing, but you know, they just seem to have better organisation. Like the way they dealt with Barcelona. I know Barcelona were a bit of a mess anyway, because you know they were a mess against PSG and then somehow pulled it out of the bag because PSG. Well, that was an
decided to just hoof the ball away.
That was an amazing stat that they pulled out. That in the last 10 minutes of the game, PSG completed 2 passes. I thought that was a crazy statistic.
They're paid to play professional football. Like you think?
Yeah.
We don't know how to protect a 3-goal lead.
It was
what
mad.
Are we going to
You'd
do?
Never see the likes of that again.
No. It's the most memorable match of the season.
But, you know, summing it up, after a whole season now gone by and looking ahead to the new one, do you still have enthusiasm?
Another year over.
A new one.
Well, we're going into a World Cup year, so at least there's that.
Yeah.
So there's something to bookend it in one way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Ireland will qualify.
I will be there.
It's not going too badly so far.
I think we have a very tidy squad. Yeah. I think it's a very nice squad now. Like, there's no star. I don't think we have anyone near Robbie Keane, Damien Duff's star quality.
It would be nice to be in the World Cup again.
Yeah.
Geez, 2002 since the last one. Yeah. I think that, I mean, when you're looking to the head of the Premier League season, I would presume...
Huddersfield Town are in the Premier League.
Yeah, and what I liked about them was their story about how, you know, their season ticket is going to cost like something like 200 quid, 300 quid.
Brilliant.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And the chairman had made a promise back in 2009, 2010 to the fans that any fan who buys a season ticket for a consecutive between then and whenever they get into the Premier League will be entitled to a season ticket for £100. Now, he hasn't said whether he's sticking by that or not, but that would be pretty impressive. Like, this, as I said, the season ticket for Arsenal is something like almost £2,000. Mm. It's going to be a bit less now next season because they didn't qualify for the Champions League. So there's like a 10% discount.
I think that's up there with nearly what Leicester did last season. The sustain, like I get Leicester.
I think the squad cost something like £14 million.
It's just the sustained success, and those leagues are grim. They're in like you can get stuck in them and just like stuck in a rut. And like, imagine you like who Reading now looking down the barrel of another 44 game season.
It must be so grim to get to the playoff final when you've played 48 games in the regular league campaign plus whatever.
I think the playoff final is the best game in the English domestic football calendar.
What's your favourite playoff final? I think it was the City one.
One of them was like 4-all or
something. Yeah. Oh, there's been some crackers.
Yeah.
I do love the playoff.
The thing, their players are good enough to make it to the playoff final, so they're on the radar for a lot of clubs. So they're like, oh, we'll poach him. But then you have to look at it. So I can't be bothered doing this for another year. I think.
Yeah, I think Yapstam will get them going again. It's nice to have two new, brand new teams in the Premier League.
I mean, you have Brighton and you have Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Like, we already, we had Reading, whatever, I don't know, 10 years ago or something.
I look forward to they're both their immediate returns.
It was only 4 or 5, yeah. Was it?
To the Championship. It's going to be great. It's great having them.
You can't say that.
Ah, you can't say that. I'd love Brighton to stay up, mainly because of Chris Hughton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but I was actually gutted that they didn't win the Championship on the last day. To get one over in Newcastle.
At the end of the day, they bottled it. I mean,
they
could have won it. They had their game at home. It was in their second last game of the season. Who are mid-table or, you know, the bottom half of the league. Nothing to play for and they lost 1-0. That's pure taking their eye off the ball.
There's a good few clubs going up and staying up now coming from the Championship. Bournemouth, Burnley, Swansea, like maybe 5 years, 6
Swansea
years.
Swansea is a remarkable achievement.
Now they are going into Sunderland territory where they're annoying everyone by just kind of teetering on the edge of relegation, but still they're up, you know?
There seems to be a gap, though. Well, certainly this season, there was a gap between the top 4 to 5 and everybody else. Mm. I mean, as we were saying, Arsenal finished on one of their highest totals. Yeah,
there was a clear kind of top 6. Man United kind of tailed off the end, but like if they
had their eyes
somewhere
else.
It just seemed that like...
And then Everton on their own in between.
If you were able to beat... Most of the big teams were able to beat all the kind of bottom 10 teams. Mm. You know, maybe with the exception of Liverpool, who just seemed to beat the big teams and then lose to all the bottom teams. But do you know, there was definitely a gap there. I felt, which hasn't always been there in years gone by. I mean, there's so much money floating around the league now that you would think that gap would be like Crystal Palace have struggled, and then you look at some of the players Crystal Palace have.
And Sam's gone,
and Sam has left. Obviously, they weren't.
Where does he go from here? Like, where would he?
He said he's retiring.
Yeah,
job done. Walks off into the
very
sunset.
Very strange to go back.
His reputation intact.
Very strange to go back to Palace knowing that he's going to retire. I think.
Well,
or did he just want to prove to everyone he could do it one more time?
I think when you have these end of season conversations and the manager ends up leaving, a lot of it, more often than not, has to do with the budget for the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, if his ideas of what he wants to do, and then he's told, "Oh, we're giving you X amount of money," he's going, "Okay, so we have another season battling relegation." I mean. You could forgive Sam to be tired of doing that job of just fighting relegation.
Mm.
It's the same season over and over again for him.
They'll bring in Harry Redknapp next.
The one big job he had was the Newcastle one. The England job.
Sorry.
But
The Newcastle job was bigger than the England job.
The one big club job he had was the Newcastle one. That didn't go well.
And I'll miss him.
Ah, yeah. Well, as this show says, if I was an Allardyce... What does he say? If I was an
allergic. Oh, what was it called?
It's the
name
of Donald
DTR, probably. Yeah.
Yes, fans.
He said he would have managed Real Madrid or Barcelona by now if his name was Allardyce.
He was a good manager.
Great.
At a certain level, yeah.
Yeah.
And 100% win ratio with England as well, which I think has to be noted. Mm. That will always go down in history.
He's my hero.
Really? What aim a little higher than that? But yeah, no, I think who was saying it last week on this show that you can see him coming back? Was it yourself?
Oh,
of course,
yeah,
he'll keep coming back.
You know,
same with Harry Redknapp. How many ends of careers does Harry Redknapp have?
Well, Harry's back now with Birmingham, and I'd say he'll do quite well with them.
Bringing in what players like Nico Crankyar, get the old gang back together.
Asu Okoto, who won't be coming back.
has there ever been a situation though where Harry, can you think about a club he's gone into that he hasn't done a decent job at? I mean, he managed West Ham, he did all right. He managed Portsmouth, he did all right.
Yeah, no, he does well while he's there, but then some of the clubs...
kind of tears into shreds. What he leaves behind is different.
With the exception of Spurs, I think he really kick-started that whole Spurs revival.
Yeah.
He was the first man to get them into the Champions League. I remember when Pochettino arrived at Southampton.
Pochettino's manager of the year.
Oh, he is,
Even though Conte did amazing, I just knew, we all sort of knew, sort of...
Chelsea had a great team. I know, I think the problem for Chelsea was they were grinding out wins, and people just regarded that as boring.
I just find what Spurs have built there just really something worthy of praise. I think for them to have even got close to Chelsea, despite the fact that Chelsea had, is that their highest ever points total?
What did they finish?
It's one of the top two or three highest points totals. Great that we do our research here.
I think they finished
in Premier League history.
They finished on 91. They finished on 91 with Mourinho.
They dropped a load of points. Spurs did when Harry Kane was out. If they'd picked up half the points, then it would have been an even tighter race. Which is ridiculous.
But they have the big problem now that they're going to Wembley next season.
Yeah, that might have been their chance. Yeah, but still, I think they'll struggle. They're a really good team. I mean, they'll still be good.
They'll be playing in Wembley. They might as well be playing in a neutral venue. Mm-hmm. Every club that moves into a new stadium, whether they're there temporarily or they're there full time, they have the initial problem of it doesn't feel like a home stadium. I mean, West Ham had that problem this season. Arsenal had it when they moved to the Emirates. Most teams that move to new stadiums have that initial problem of that instead of it feeling like a home stadium, it feels like a neutral ground. And they're definitely going to have it because they're just playing at Wembley.
Yeah, which we all saw.
It's too big for them. It's just too big.
Well, you're going to have games there where you might have, I don't know what their supporter base would be like, but
huge.
Like, I mean, if you're playing a bottom three team or something, you may have games there where you have 50,000. 50,000 to 60,000.
Will they ask get more than that? Maybe. Well, I suppose they got 50,000.
If they play like this again, I can see them.
That might be more of an issue, is that you'll just have a load of neutrals at all their games.
You will have an awful lot of neutrals at their games because the thing about it is, if you're looking to go to a Premier League match and you're in London for the day,
and you have the option of going to watch,
you'll always have the option of going to watch Spurs because there will always be tickets going, unless you know, maybe the North London Derby would be a sellout.
Goodness.
You know.
Yeah, it certainly will. I think we've
Giraffe, we've much to look forward to.
I can't wait for another debate about Arsene Wenger and how he should step away.
How many more debate? Like, there was no one thing I will say about this season was there was no great story. There was no real story to go, ah, oh, this is a great scandal. I mean, other years.
Well,
had,
apart from Sam Allardyce.
Yeah,
then it was kind of looking back now, it's kind of a lot of nothing.
I feel bad for him. If he gutted it out for a couple of weeks longer, he would have realised he didn't have to resign. But the only shame for him was that he left. He should have stood his ground because the furor about that. I know he resigned, but the furor about that seemed to disappear overnight.
Did really?
You know, it just,
and he just got on with the new job.
Yeah, and I think if he stood his ground a bit longer, he might realise, oh, actually, maybe I don't have to resign here.
Well, he didn't.
You know,
if he stuck it out,
he did.
As we've seen in, you know, politics, and this is how we're going to combine these.
Take
two.
Note, Donald Trump.
Exactly. You just move on to the next bad news story.
Yeah, you just a lot of the time, if you just gut it out for long enough.
Although he's probably he was pushed by the FA, though, wasn't he?
He was. I think there was insane pressure put out.
Listen, we're just talking crap now then.
Sure, we don't know what went on in those four walls of FA Towers.
Again, who knows? There's a lot that happens there that we don't know about.
In the shady world of Premier League soccer.
But if it's Mike Bassett, England manager, if you just go to the FA office, lift up what's underneath the carpet, old letters are there. And that's kind of the way it's all run. But anyway, I think that's it for this week's show. Next week we'll have Keith Andrews and as a yet unnamed Uruguay player who I have yet to be.
Raf is going to hang around
this
the
is a
hotel.
Very lackluster way of doing that.
Raf is going to hang around the hotel and see who's talked to him.
Raf is hanging around with a phone book, the Uruguayan phone book. He's just ringing up.
I have been in touch with the Uruguayan FA who have been in touch with me, and I have been promised a player.
Did you see the FAI advertised this with the big Luis Suarez?
He's not in the squad.
Not
even
in
though.
The squad.
No.
Did you ask Raf? Could you speak to Luis Suarez?
Bring him up.
Yeah, I have been told, and this is not exclusive.
This is your integrity.
I've been told that in a way I probably won't get one of the big players. So I kind of thought, okay, that's not.
I'll
Suarez.
Have a smaller one. So yeah,
maybe Cavani. Who knows? Maybe Cavani will be on the show next
week. You know what you talk.
Does he speak
about?
English though?
No.
So you're just going to go in there
you'll
and
have
do
an
this
interpreter.
Thing. This is like that time.
No, I can get by.
My favourite Team 33 vote is when you said that we'd ring up Diego Maradona.
That is not true. You weren't there. It's not true.
He translated for us.
Raph, what you need to know, whenever you're
never happened.
It did happen.
It happened in a production meeting, Raph.
It's a fact.
I've denied this for years.
It's a fact. My favourite Team 33 vote.
As Raph and
we know facts mean nothing in this era.
Well, that's how we know it's not true. Like you said it happened in a production meeting. Yeah. I don't think there's any production meetings.
We've never had a production meeting.
We did have production meetings.
We
back
did.
Then.
I just like to imagine what that interview would have been like, where just have Raph in the little production box saying, "Oh, Diego, yeah. Oh, well, hold on, no, hold on, no.
Diego, I hear your class at soccer."
Raph puts the phone down, runs in to join the pair of us, and we have no clue what the man is saying. Raph asks the first question, like, "Cuántos años tienes?" Like, what age are interview or something like that. Diego Maradona starts his sentence and Raf just starts talking over him slowly.
And then one of us are like, one of us just goes, Napoli.
Drugs.
But you should tell, if you go speaking to those Uruguayan lads, bring up the 1930 World Cup, Raf.
Oh, they love that.
They love that.
Well, I know, and 1950
as well. 1950.
Great history. But that's it for this week's show, anyway.
Football was the winner again.
Football's the winner. We'll see what Uruguay player I do end up meeting. Killian, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Chambers, thanks for coming back.
Sound.
And Joe Coffey.
Raf, pleasure as always.
Take it away, Johan. We'll be right back.